Today, we discuss claims of censorship on the viral video app TikTok, and journalist Marie LeConte on why gossip matters in politics. Alex, you're back.
Hello.
You just keep knocking it out of the park with these exclusive stories. What's the latest?
The latest is TikTok and how it moderates its enormously successful viral short video app.
It's what?
It's enormously successful short viral video app.
Oh, yeah, that.
You got game on your phone.
You got a tissue to wipe your dusty crust. Where's your mother?
Hey! The power within.
Bye!
The power within.
Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me.
If you're of a certain age on the internet, you can think of it as Vine for Gen Z.
I'm in my mum's car. Broom, broom.
If you're older even than that reference making sense, it's an app that lets you share 15-second long videos that has somewhere in the order of 500 million users worldwide.
Hey, Musical.ly TikTok, what's up everybody?
I am the Lizard Queen! And I'm just perking the umbrella.
TikTok is huge. If you're over 25, you're probably not on it, but this social media giant is now thought to be bigger than Twitter and bigger than Snapchat. Last week, comments by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg admitting that TikTok is a growing competitor were leaked to the media. Now questions have been raised about its ethics after The Guardian revealed that the company censored videos that might upset the Chinese government. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, what's really going on with TikTok? Alex Hearn, UK technology editor for The Guardian. This is where I start with my granny question. Tell me about TikTok.
So TikTok is the merger of a Chinese company's app called TikTok in the West and called Douyin in China, which translates vaguely into sort of buzzing noise. It's an onomatopoeia, just like TikTok. And a Western
it's
app.
It's an onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia. TikTok, TikTok, buzz, buzz, buzz. But it's a merger between this Chinese app and an American app called Musical.ly. Musical.ly got very large in around 2016 and 2017, letting largely teen users film themselves lip syncing to music. And then TikTok arrived. And TikTok is one app made by a Chinese company called ByteDance, which is generally described as the world's largest startup. It's a very young company with a valuation somewhere in the order of $75 billion. ByteDance made TikTok in the West to try and export some of the success that they'd had within China to the rest of the world.
How big is big? How does it compare to, say, other social media sites?
It's probably the biggest one that's not owned by Facebook. Facebook has more users than anyone. Instagram is next, but it's also Facebook. And then there's TikTok. The company claims or has had attributed to it 500 million active users.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not a regular TikTok user.
Neither am I.
So I have downloaded it. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be able to now like, lip sync to famous songs?
You will if you want.
Show me. Tell me. Just. Oh, hello.
Okay, there we go. We've got Dolly Parton.
I really want to start singing, but I'm really bad. This video is so funny.
Anushka's lost.
I'm sorry.
This is not good radio. It is both a fascinating app and something that I feel is actually a bit creepy to be on if you're over about 25. The user base is so young and it's so insular amongst that user base. It's teens talking to teens.
PSA, guys, if you didn't know already, I got new teeth. So if you're ready to date me now, let's talk business.
It says you have to be over 12 to use it, and you're talking about teens. Is that its audience, or do we know whether younger children are using it as well?
Younger children are allowed to use it. These days, they have to use a restricted account. That hasn't always been the case, and TikTok's had some heat for it.
And do you get followers in the same way as you do on others?
You do get followers, but they are far less important on TikTok than they are in other platforms, because TikTok uses a similar sort of algorithmic feed to that you find on Facebook or Instagram, where it will artificially promote videos that are doing very well. It will hide videos that it thinks are boring. But this feed is turned up to 11. It's far, far more aggressive at showing you stuff that it thinks will go viral, and far, far more aggressive at hiding stuff that it thinks is a bit crap.
So if I make a video and it's really boring, TikTok won't show people?
Most videos made by most people will not be seen by very many people at all, including their followers. You know, TikTok will show it to 10 or so people, and then if none of them watch it all the way through, it will just stop showing it.
So that's it. Social media X factor.
It is.
Thicker than a sneaker, heavy like a Chevy. Come here, little mama, let me rub up on the belly.
One of the things that TikTok influencers complain about, in fact, is that the algorithm is completely inscrutable. There is no way to tell when you post something whether it's going to do well or not. But the flip side of that is, as a viewer, you don't need to do any work. You don't need to track down the good accounts. You don't need to find your friends on it. You just open it up, and As you saw, the very first thing on it is the For You feed, which is completely algorithmically driven.
How did it know that I would like silly videos like that?
Because it just shows you great videos. And like, if you scroll down the feed, you'll find that roughly what you have is about a third incredible short form web comedy like that.
One, two, three.
A third absolutely inscrutable in jokes that are only funny to other teens that I just don't get.
This is my voice 3 weeks on anime.
And a third kind of teen thirst traps. Just like Instagram influencers, there are pretty women who are famous sort of in part for being pretty women. It's just on TikTok they are 15 or 16. And if you're an adult, if you're a child, that's still a bit of an odd thing that our modern world has. And TikTok's come under a lot of criticism from organizations like the NSPCC for failing to really protect those underage users.
How did it get so massive?
They plowed money into it. To a certain extent, you can buy users, right? You can't buy sustainable, long-lasting use, but if you run enough ads, you get curiosity clicks, and that's where a lot of those users came from. Some of that is sort of shady advertising. A piece in The New Yorker recently quoted one TikTok employee saying that they were really uncomfortable with the adverts that TikTok ran on Instagram, which were showing basically just incredibly basic, shocking content. Anything to get users to click through.
Clickbait,
exactly.
And is it making money?
That's the big question. It's a private company, so we have no right to know. It's making revenue. It's certainly got income, but it is frankly unbelievable that its revenue could exceed its costs at this point. ByteDance is in it for the long game. They don't need to turn a profit for years down the line, and they're clearly trying to lay that groundwork.
And if it's all about people going viral, and they have to be really good to go viral, does that mean we're getting massive stars out of it like we have done with YouTube?
The most famous star to come from TikTok didn't really come from TikTok in the same way as we'd expect. Because of that Musical.ly route, it's become incredibly influential in music, particularly in sort of pop aimed at teens. And the most obvious example of that is Lil Nas X, whose song Old Town Road holds the record for the longest number one Billboard single in history.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached, head is matted black, got the boots black to match.
It became a very popular song to lip sync along to. That was how it spread. Which meant that most people who'd heard it in the first month of its life had only ever heard 15 seconds of it, because that's how long you get on TikTok to lip sync.
I'm having a night out on Saturday. I'm going to download it.
It's really
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road.
Lip sync. Do you do it at night?
Do I do? What is it?
Do
I lip sync at night to Old Town Road?
Exactly. That's
no.
I don't think it's going to go.
I have never posted on TikTok myself.
We've had the good. We've had some of the bad. Tell me about the ugly. Does TikTok have a dark side?
TikTok has several dark sides. For a while, the biggest fear on TikTok was that the company seemed at best cavalier with its approach to the safety of its pretty young fan base. In America, that came in the form of a fine from the Federal Trade Commission. TikTok had the FTC alleged and fined TikTok for knowingly collecting prohibited personal data from users it should have or did know were under 13, the age limit set by the American Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. TikTok paid a fine. TikTok promised to institute a restricted mode for those younger users that meant basically they were locked into only viewing videos and couldn't post. And that seems to have put that to one side. There are wider questions about the protection of children in more traditional social networking senses. Young girls have reported a lot of grooming behavior happens on TikTok. It is an app which is focused on posting videos of yourself, so it is fairly easy for adult men to find young women to contact. That is not a unique problem for TikTok. Every social network has it, but because TikTok is seen as such a place for children to speak to children, it obviously has had a lot of attention from critics like the NSPCC.
Can someone who is under 12 just say they're over 12, or are there checks in place?
There are no checks in place. That's not uncommon for the internet. One of the problems that companies like TikTok and Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram have faced is that we in the UK do not have any real digital identity. It's not clear what sort of proof you could require. Mostly you need to just rely on honesty. A lot of platforms that ask you to enter your age start with either a blank box or a box set to today's date.
And anything else?
One of the places where TikTok has had the most opprobrium is India.
3rd of April ko Madras High Court ne responding to a PIL, TikTok should be banned in India.
Where 3 deaths have been attributed to it.
Deaths?
Deaths. All kids recreating pranks or doing video stunts, essentially. It's one of the things that you get in a viral hit-driven video app, right? People want to post the most engaging content they can. In India's case, that meant posing with a pistol, hanging out on train tracks, and trying to fit 3 people on 1 bike. The Indian government responded by banning the app temporarily until TikTok promised to get its affairs in order.
Did it get its affairs in order?
Enough to be allowed back into India, at least. One of the things the app now bans absolutely as part of its moderation guidelines is essentially any content that encourages dangerous behavior.
And who moderates that?
TikTok has a lot of moderators. It has somewhere in the order of 10,000, which is fewer than Facebook, but certainly a lot more than Facebook had when it was 2 years old.
Which brings us to your recent exclusive stories. Let's start with the first one. What did you show?
So we received moderation guidelines from a TikTok moderator who leaked them to The Guardian because they were uncomfortable with what the moderation required them to do. The most obvious thing when reading them for the first time is that you can tell that TikTok is a Chinese company, because all through the moderation guidelines are requirements on the moderators to remove content that effectively goes against Chinese foreign policy.
The popular app TikTok may be censoring information about protests in Hong Kong. The app is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance.
They had to remove content that related to the Tiananmen Square incident of June the 4th, 1989. Content that related to Tibetan or Taiwanese independence. Content that related to Falun Gong, a banned religious sect. All of those requirements were couched in language that made it sound like they were general rules, of which the Chinese examples were just one. So it was controversial political topics, such as independence of provinces, that was banned, not purely Tibet. You also couldn't advocate for Northern Irish independence. It was topics that demonize or distort national history, of which the Tiananmen Square incident was just one. And it is groups or organizations that promote suicide that led to Falun Gong being banned. All of these things were buried in the documents and played into something that we'd already suspected, which is that TikTok, even though it doesn't operate in China, was still being used to advance Chinese aims.
Basically, it sounds like they were exporting Chinese censorship.
Pretty much. The most obvious external version of that was during the Hong Kong protests, when a search for Hong Kong would frequently reveal sort of 3 videos on the whole site. Like a search for snail would reveal 3 million. it was clear that something was up and that the app was being censored.
What were the three videos? Not mass protests, I'm guessing.
Not mass protests, no. To be clear, the version of the moderation guidelines we've seen didn't mention Hong Kong once. But also, as TikTok told us later, the version of moderation guidelines we've seen were pulled in May and replaced with a new set, which we haven't seen. So it's unsurprising that they didn't mention anything about the Hong Kong protests because they hadn't started in May.
But that's interesting because that suggests that something is still going on post the guidelines. And yet, wasn't TikTok's response to you that your guidelines were out of date?
It was. TikTok said that the guidelines were ended in May, that they were the product of a young company that didn't understand what it was doing as much, and that they were moving to a system of more localized guidelines created in conjunction with local users and local moderators. The implication being that they wouldn't care as much about censoring things that China didn't like in the UK.
And if they're saying they've moved to a more localized model, do we know what type of decisions they're making in different countries?
We don't know for sure, but we do have an idea of what it could be based on a second set of documents that we got. The documents that were applied in the UK until May were what the company called its loose guidelines. We also received two other sets of moderation documents, the strict guidelines and a set of country-specific guidelines for Turkey. The strict guidelines are basically the same as the loose ones, but have extra rules about basically what women can wear on TikTok. And the Turkey-specific ones, rules about what you can post Mustafa Atatürk, which is basically nothing. Don't post videos of Turkey's founding father. Some are rules about Kurdish separatism. But others are just rules that are incredibly culturally conservative. You're not allowed to express support for gay rights. You're not allowed to have a pride flag in the video. You're not allowed to depict drinking alcohol in a country where around 80% of the country is teetotal, but alcohol is completely legal. You're not even allowed to have pictures of statues of Jesus. It suggests that while TikTok may, once it starts localizing its guidelines, step back from the China-specific censorship, it's not going to stop the wider thing, which is massively erring on the side of caution. It wants to be, as they put it, sort of a joyful social network where creativity occurs. And they seem to have decided the way to do that is just to block anything that has the whiff of controversy.
What you're telling me, Alex, is wild. I mean, this is a social media app that is bigger than Twitter, bigger than Snapchat. Teenagers all over the world are using it. And that sounds like massive censorship on the scale that we would never see, presumably, at anything like Facebook or Instagram.
The presumably is really important there because remember what I was saying about the algorithm earlier? One of the more insidious facts of this moderation is you can't tell that it's happening even when you are being moderated. TikTok's overwhelming moderating tool isn't to delete content, it's to mark it as visible to self. So you don't see it, it's gone, it still remains on your feed, it just doesn't get shown to anyone. So you have no way of knowing as a TikTok user whether you've had that content taken down because it violated the rules or just not shown to anyone because the algorithm didn't like it. And that means that we simply have no way of knowing for sure what is and isn't banned on TikTok. Twitter does have a process referred to as shadow banning. There are certain types of content and certain types of behavior where it does take action without informing the user. But unlike TikTok, that's not the default policy. The default policy for Twitter and Facebook is to take down infringing content and tell the user it's been taken down.
TikTok have responded by saying, look, the guidelines you're talking about are somewhat out of date. We've got new guidelines, but we're not going to tell you what they are.
There are reasons for not sharing the specifics of this sort of thing. One thing that Twitter and Facebook have learned is if you're overly specific about the guidelines, you get people going exactly up to the edge. The strict versions of the TikTok guidelines, for instance, say that you can't show too much cleavage. How much cleavage? Exactly one third of the total length of the cleavage. It's ridiculous, but if you're going to have a systematic attempt to control what women wear, it needs to be systematic and you need to have those descriptions. But it's very obvious that if those descriptions get out, you see people start to measure the amount of cleavage they show to stay just on the right line, and it ends up being a bit self-defeating. At the same time, I think what you do need is transparency about what you take down. You don't need to say precisely how it broke the rule, but you do need to say, we've removed this content, not leave people continually guessing as to whether or not they've been censored or just are a bit crap at making a funny video.
Having been leaked this information about the processes within TikTok, and having seen information about the processes within other tech companies, how worried are you?
I am worried about the fact that TikTok really sincerely, I think, believes that it's not the place for controversy or dissent or politics. Obviously, their day one involved using a very Chinese definition of dissent and politics and involved mentioning Tiananmen Square and Tibetan independence. But I sort of believe them that that's not overall goal. That's something that was grandfathered in because of their history. And I might even believe them that they've removed that from their overall policies today, because I think the important point is that they think that there is such a thing as sort of art and culture without politics and dissent. That's the fundamental difference, I think, between TikTok and a company like Facebook and Twitter. If you have a system where people can communicate, it's going to need to allow for political discussion. It's going to need to allow for controversy.
Alex, as ever, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Alex Hearn, The Guardian's UK technology editor. Do read his brilliant exclusives on the website. For both of them, he went to ByteDance, which said guidelines he had been leaked had been replaced in May, admitting that in TikTok's early days, we took a blunt approach to minimising conflict on the platform, and our moderation guidelines allowed penalties to be given for things like content that promoted conflict. They said they now knew this was not the correct approach, and that future guidelines would be drawn up by local teams rather than set centrally. Coming up, what role does gossip play in politics? Now, journalist Marie LeConte has been researching a side of politics we don't always hear as much about.
So I guess we talk a lot about the Westminster Village, but the way to think about it is probably more as a small town. You've got the MPs, 650 of them, you've got peers, so around 800. Quite a lot of journalists covering all of this. Civil servants, we know there's a ton of them kind of working around Whitehall. Several thousand people would be the kind of Westminster bubble. Gossip in the context of Westminster can have quite a wide definition. I've taken it as an informal conversation happening between two or more people where at least one of the parties should not have access to that information at that point in time. Even in terms of, I don't know, who's sleeping with who and who's having an affair, etc., can have an impact on actually what's going on and, you know, on much more serious stuff. Everything, the professional and the personal, are so intertwined within politics.
Conservative MPs have begun voting on whether to change their leader and the country's prime minister.
I know one of my favourite examples is told to me by former Conservative MP Gerry Hayes, and it was before the vote of no confidence against Margaret Thatcher. And so it was him and I think one of his MP colleagues, and they sort of gathered with a few journalists, and the journalists, you know, the idea was we're going to crunch the numbers and see if she can survive this vote or not. And so the journalists allegedly went through, so, you know, each Conservative MP, where they stood on different policies, you know, where they agreed with Margaret Thatcher, whether they disagreed with her, whether they were wets or dries, et cetera, et cetera. And whereas the MPs were like, no, you're doing this completely wrong. And so they also had their list of MPs and said, OK, who has Margaret Thatcher pissed off? Like, who really wants a promotion? Who's really annoyed at her for X reason? Who actually really wants this or wants that, etc.? So, like, genuinely just looking at the personal stuff. And I think they got to within two votes in the end on the no confidence vote. So that clearly worked.
Where's the microphone? It's here. This is the microphone.
I'm actually very pleased that I got more than half the parliamentary party and disappointed that it's not quite enough to win on the first ballot. So I confirm it is my intention to let my name go forward for the second ballot.
One of the most fascinating changes over the past few years is social media and how that's completely, actually, I think, revolutionised really how gossip travels around Westminster. So until not that long ago, if you wanted to talk to people, you either had to, you know, bump into them or know where they were at that point within, let's say, the Palace of Westminster. Whereas now, especially, you know, I think Twitter, to an extent, but especially WhatsApp, has completely changed that. Every MP, I think, is in about a million WhatsApp groups. gossip is about human nature. It's about how people interact with one another. It's about, you know, people behaving in ways like they perhaps shouldn't. We kind of forget that actually people in the bubble, so, you know, looking at especially politicians, are just people like you and me. They're people who will occasionally make bad decisions. They'll probably fall in love with the wrong people sometimes or get a bit too drunk, etc. Like, they're just at very fundamental level people. And as a result, I don't think that you can ever get the full picture in terms of what happens in Westminster if you don't take that into account. There's no point, I think, in just saying, oh, well, you know, I'm very interested in politics, but I will only ever read about, you know, debates in the Commons and about policy papers. You know, I don't want to concern myself with sort of tittle-tattle, when actually you would miss on so much of the story if you didn't care about that personal aspect. And you probably wouldn't even really understand what's going on, because so much of what happens is not about policy disagreements, is not about, you know, different ideologies, etc. It's just about people acting like people.
That was Marie Leconte. Her book, Haven't You Heard, is out now. That's all for today. My thanks to Alex Hearn and Marie Leconte. This episode was produced by Chika Ayres, Hannah Moore and Elizabeth Cassin. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.